Proverbs chapter 7, let's begin at verse 1. We'll stand for the reading of the word. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, I made him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. He will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I want to preach to you this morning on a soul at risk. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to assemble in God's house and worship the Lord. Father, we gather around your word now and we ask you to help us. We'd be able to preach the word of God with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Speak warning to our young people, Lord, to encourage faith in Christ. We'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My text contains the story, the real life story, of the moral downfall of a young man. And the writer of Proverbs addressed this book of Proverbs to young people. He gives the purpose for the writing of the book in chapter 1 and verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The wise man wrote to prevent the moral and spiritual shipwreck of lives, young lives. And the story before us is the story of many young lives. This story contains this moral and spiritual shipwreck of this young life. And that story is repeated over and over in the history of man. This is the kind of story that God is seeking to prevent by the Word of God. And I shudder with horror when I think of the young people who have been through this church and fell prey to the devices of the devil and cast their character and caution to the winds. And I feel led this morning to try again to prevent moral and spiritual disaster in the lives of our young people. I have a deep sadness in my heart this morning over the young people that I have failed to persuade of the danger of sin and the desirability of the Savior. I see young people taught better, that prefer the embrace of the strange woman than the companionship of sanctified saints. And I want to present my message this morning in four parts. I want us to see this youth, the youth in these stages. First of all, aimless. Secondly, allured. Thirdly, accursed. And fourthly, armed. The youth in our story is pictured as being aimless. He is said to be simple. You notice in verse 6 of my text, at the window of my house, I looked through my casement, beheld among the simple ones. He's said to be simple. He's said to be void of understanding. The simple in the book of Proverbs are those who disregard future consequences for the pleasure of the moment. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3 that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He takes precautions to avoid future tragedy, but the simple pass on and are punished. Lack of foresight makes that simple person easy prey for the deceiver. Proverbs 14 and 15 says that the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A man void of understanding. This young man was a simple man, and he was void of understanding. He's unable to discriminate between truth and error, friend and foe, right and wrong. He's void of understanding. And you know, some are void of understanding because they've never been instructed in the truth of God's Word. And some are void of understanding because they have rejected God's Word or neglected God's Word, and they're void of understanding. The youth in our text seems to be hanging out, wandering in the streets of the city. We are not told if he knew that he was passing into a moral danger zone, but he passed near the house of the strange woman. He was in a place he had no business being. He was in a dangerous place at a dangerous time. It was twilight. It was evening. It was soon black and dark night. Time that he should have been at home with his family. Instead, he's in the city, in a dangerous place, at a dangerous time. The place and the time was ripe for disaster. Young people whose lives are aimless, who lack structure in their life, due to the lack of parental guidance and parental discipline, who have no one to answer to, whose days are filled with hanging out with other young people just as aimless as themselves. They are easy prey for the schemes of Satan because their life is aimless. That youth who goes to the web without a specific, legitimate purpose for being there will almost without fail wind up in forbidden territory. Did y'all hear me? I don't just go for young people. You go on that web without a specific, legitimate purpose, and you will most likely wind up somewhere you have no business being. The youth that frequents the public library, just hanging out, will inevitably find material that belongs to the twilight, the evening, the black and dark night. The youth that wanders in the night, riding the roads, stopping at joints, parking with other youths in the Walmart parking spaces, hanging out, looking for companionship. He may not be looking for trouble, but trouble is looking for him. You hear me? I said he may not be looking for trouble, but trouble is looking for him. And we'll soon find him. The youth in my text is not only aimless, but suddenly he is faced with overwhelming allurement. This strange woman found him. He wandered into her trap, into her part of town. And he was aimless, but she wasn't. She had a purpose. She was not aimless. And she was after his soul. She was after his life. And this wasn't the first life she had ruined. This wasn't the first experience for her. This was not the first soul she had destroyed. She was a woman of experience. She knew what she was after. She came where he was. Verse 26 says, she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. When they got in the wrong place, wrong time, wrong place, and she meets them there. If we can see Jesus in the personification of wisdom in Proverbs, we can see the devil in the strange woman. And the tactics of the devil are evident in her reproach, her approach to this young man. Her appearance was appealing. She had on the attire of a harlot. She aimed to get his attention by her appearance. She was on a mission. She aimed to draw attention to her body, and her heart matched her appearance. The Bible says she was subtle of heart. She knew his weakness, and she boldly attacked him in the point where she knew he was weak. She had on the attire of a harlot. I feel like I need to speak a word of warning to our young ladies this morning. I want you to know that the fashion designers of the world are not sanctified people. That's an understatement. That is a really, really understatement. The designers of the world are not sanctified people. And plunging necklines and hiked up hems and slit dresses, and it doesn't matter if the slit's this long or this long, it's designed to attract attention to the wrong part of the body. It's designed to tease. Spike heels, sleeveless clothes, clothes with little sleeves in them, short tops with midriff showing, skirts and blouses as tight as your skin. Y'all listening to me now? I know I got your attention now. They are not designed to promote purity and chastity. And I call on you mamas and grandmamas, be sensitive to the Holy Ghost in your homes. Be sensitive to the working of the devil in your homes, and warn your daughters of the tricks of the devil. If it isn't in your heart to draw attention, elicit attention to your body, then don't give the impression that you agree with the world's values by your appearance. If you catch a man by carnal means, another woman will take him away by carnal means. Let God make you a beautiful woman. God will beautify the meek with salvation. He'll make you a beautiful woman of character, a woman of prayer, a woman of joy, a woman of the Word of God, a woman of industry, a woman that attracts by her character. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 31 and 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Are y'all hearing me? This strange woman, she pretends affection for this youth. She kisses him. She flatters him by telling him he's the very one she's been looking for. He melts in her embrace. Many young people have been allured out of the ranks of the sanctified by the embrace and flattery of the world. The world tells you that you have great potential. You can go far in the world. You're wasting your life and you're limiting your opportunities by your religious scruples. If you would just discard your backward religion, you could go great places in life, have great success in life. But it's the hiss of the serpent. It's the voice of the strange woman. She's after your She offers illicit pleasure. She strengthens her offer by assuring him she's religious. She has offered her peace offerings. She promises him a guilt-free night. She may know this song, you know. How can it be so wrong when it feels so right? And one of the greatest dangers to young people, listen to me, one of the greatest dangers to young people is the allurement of a religious world with a harlot spirit. Do you hear me? I said, one of the greatest dangers to our young people is the allurement of a religious world with a harlot spirit. Young people, holiness is not optional. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is not optional. Some of our young people have wound up in churches that hate holiness, excuse sin, offer guilt-free worldly pleasure. You can be a Hollywood addict, a social drunk, live with your fiance. You know, that's what they all are when they live with them out of wedlock, you know. They're their fiancé. You can play the lottery, cuss like a sailor, be involved in the liquor business, at the same time sing in the choir, be a leader in the church. I want to tell you, young folks, not many people are going to live holy in a church with a harlot spirit. Now, there may be exceptions. I'm sure there are. But not many people are going to live holy in a church with a harlot spirit. She embraced him. She's religious. She's promising him a guilt-free night. Come with me. Pleasure. And I've already offered my peace offerings. After all, God forgives us of the past, present, and future, right? So whatever we do in the future is already taken care of, and we can have a guilt-free night tonight. This strange woman completes her offer by assuring the youth of secrecy. The good man of the house is not at home. My husband is away, and he will never know. There will be no consequences. It's the oldest lie of the devil. In the very beginning, he told Eve, "You shall not surely die." This is the oldest lie of the devil, that you can have your sin without consequences. Young folks, many young people from this church have believed that lie. And I'm trying one more time to save your soul. Trying one more time to save your life from the strange woman. The youth believed her lies, yielded to the embrace of the strange woman. Then this youth not only faced allurement, but he brought a curse on his life by yielding to temptation. Notice in verse 22 of my text, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Now I know, young people, I know it doesn't seem so bad. Sin doesn't seem so bad. At first, it's fun. It's engaging. It's exciting. It's new territory. You've never been there before. You're treading on ground you've never been. You're exploring out there a life that you've never known before. It seems to be so exciting and so fun. And life is frivolous. And it seems like there are no immediate consequences. So we think because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. Because we didn't get what was coming to us immediately, we think we can go on in a life of sin and escape the consequences. But sin brings a curse on our life. This young man did not realize it was for his life she was looking for. And that night in the arms of a strange woman sent his life into a downward spiral. Young people, I want you to listen to me this morning. One night in the wrong place can bring untold misery into your life down the road. One night in the wrong place can bring untold misery into your life down the road. Don't let the devil tell you that just a little fling won't matter. One wrong click on that computer and you're hooked. Satan's secrets are easily found on the World Wide Web. And you will learn things, the depths of Satan and the secrets of sin that you'll never be able to get out of your mind. Even if you get saved, you'll never be able to get out of your mind. Don't allow the devil to wreck you mentally and morally and spiritually. Sin is progressive. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. It will destroy your innocence. It'll wreck your health. It'll destroy your mind. Multitudes in this country are driven to the bottle and driven to the pills to try to find relief from an awful consequences of sin, trying to find a little relief from the guilt and the consequences of their wrong choices in life. You say, "What happened to me? I'm bulletproof." No, you're not. It can happen to you. And I know that right now it's fun, you know, playing around with sin. But 30 years down the road, look 30 years down the road, when you're in a mental health institution, the mental ward at the hospital, and they're trying to dry you out, they're trying to get the drugs out of your system, trying to get you back into a right mental state, I'm telling you, the devil will wreck you mentally, and he'll wreck you physically, and he'll wreck you spiritually. Finally, young people, you can be armed to overcome the allurement of sin. This chapter opens with an offer of life. Notice in the first part of this chapter, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with me. Keep my commandments and live." It opens with an offer of life, and it closes with the curse of hell and death. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. It opens with a promise of victory. You notice in verse 5 in my text, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman." From the stranger with flattereth with her words, there is victory over the strange woman. You don't have to give in to her. Now, two things that are necessary. I want you to hear me now, young people. Two things that are necessary. God's law must be in your heart. You notice in verse 2, "Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart." It isn't enough for you just to come to church and get acquainted with the law of God. That law has got to be written on the tables of your heart. There's got to be an experience around this altar in which the Spirit of God comes and takes His pen and writes the law of God on the tables of your heart so they become the guiding principles of your life. Then he says, "Wisdom and understanding must be dear to us." You know, he said, "Say unto wisdom," verse 4, "Thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Wisdom and understanding must be dear to you. In other words, the truths of this Bible have got to be more important than the video game. The truths of this Bible have got to be more important than the social circle you run with. There's got to be something in your heart that draws you to the Word of God to seek the wisdom and understanding of God from His Word. If you neglect that, I don't care who you are. The devil has an open door into your life. It is wisdom and understanding that keeps you from this strange woman and gives us the victory over temptation. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that we are to seek wisdom like we seek for hidden treasure. We're to be like that man that came to Socrates one day and said, "What must I do to gain wisdom?" "Follow me," he said. Carried him out into the ocean. Kept going out deeper and deeper. The man's wondering what's going on. All of a sudden, Socrates takes him, grabs him forcefully, shoves him under the water, holds him there. He's struggling. He's trying to get up. Socrates holds him under the water. He finally lets him up, spitting and sputtering. "What in the world are you doing?" Socrates said, "What did you want while you were under the water?" "I wanted air," he said. He said, "When you want wisdom like you wanted air, you can have it." Y'all, I feel the Lord. I know this may be boring to you, but I feel the Lord here. And I know that the devil wants to make every one of you young people just as irresponsible as he can. He wants to make you think that youth is ideal life and stay young as long as you can. He don't want you to mature. He don't want you to be wise. He don't want you seeking wisdom. He wants you to be dependent. He wants you to be just as ignorant of God's ways as he can make you. And God wants to draw you to the Word of God to make wisdom and understanding the treasure of your life. That you seek for it as for hidden treasures. The Bible says, get wisdom. In all thy ways, get wisdom. And get understanding. Wisdom is the beginning of knowledge. Understanding is to depart from evil. In all of thy ways, get wisdom and understanding. A singer named Russ Lee wrote a song. His song was, I Smile. Went something like this. I smile when I think about the way you turned my life around. I smile when I think about the happiness in you I've found. Talking about Jesus. But at 17, Russ Lee was living a wasted life. Wasted on drugs, alcohol, boredom, pain. Hopelessness prevailed in his life. Listening to an old rock and roll song one day that said, I can't get no satisfaction. And he said, listening to that song, he realized it described his life. He could not find satisfaction. 2 days later, a friend invited him to church. He went to church and heard the gospel message, fell in the altar and got saved. God saved his soul, left the church, went to his car. First thing he did was found his bag of drugs and said, I don't think I'll be needing these anymore, and got rid of them. And God changed his life. I'm telling you, brother, this is what God does for young people. He turns their life around, rescues them, and gives them something to fight the world with, fight temptation with, overcome the allurements of the strange woman. You don't have to fall victim to the world. Have read about, I don't think I've ever read the story myself. The Odyssey is a very old piece of literature, Greek literature. And in this story, Odysseus is trying to make his journey back home. He's been on an adventure. You know, he's been fighting at Troy, and he's trying to find his way back home. And he has all kinds of adventures on the way back home, and he must pass by this island. He's on a ship and he must pass by this island. And he's been warned that there are sirens on that island. And these sirens are some kind of, fairy tale nymphs or whatever, half bird, half woman. And they sing. And they have this sweet voice, sweet singing voice. And it's irresistible. And sailors who hear the song of the sirens can't resist it. They try to make their way to the island, but between them and the sirens is a reef, and the sailors die in the attempt to get to the sirens. Odysseus has been warned about these sirens. You can't resist their song. You can't resist their call. So, he wants to hear their song. He tells all of his sailors. He gets all of his sailors and he puts wax in their ears so they can't hear it. He ties himself to the mast. He says, I want you to tie me to the mast. And they tie him to the mast. He says, no matter what I say, no matter what my feelings are, don't untie me. If I beg to get loose, tie me tighter. So they started passing the islands. They heard the song of the sirens. The sailors couldn't hear it. They had wax in their ears. But Odysseus could hear the song of the sirens. He began to beg the sailors, untie me, turn me loose. And they wouldn't turn him loose. They tied him up tighter so that he would not respond to the song of the sirens. And I know that's just a fable, but I'm telling you, brother, there is a song of the sirens in this world. And you need to be bound to the altar of God. Oh, hallelujah. The psalmist says, tie the sacrifice to the altar. Bind it to the altar. And that's where we need to be, bound to the altar of God. Tie me there, Lord. Don't let me get loose when the song of the sirens comes. When I hear the call of the world, tie me to the altar. Bind me to the altar. I'm telling you, brother, there's an appeal from the world to every young people in this place. There's a call from the world. There's a call from the strange woman. There's an approach of the world. And you've got to be able, by the grace of God, to say no to sin. I read a story years ago while Sister Judy comes to the piano. I read a story years ago by Jack London. I don't remember which one it was, but I remember in this story, there was a wolf dog, half wolf and half dog, and he bonded with his owner. And they were in the wilds up north, and the wolves were in the area. And at night, when the sun had set, the wolves would be howling out in the darkness. The call of the wild. And in this wolf dog, there was that nature of the wolf. And he would hear the howling of the wolves. And there was something inside of him answering that call. His owner would watch him. He'd watch him while those wolves were howling. He was nervous, twitching. He was unsettled. There was something inside of him longing to answer the call of the wild. But at the same time, he was bonded with his owner. And that bond with his owner hindered him from answering the call of the wild. And he would stand there and tremble under the desire to answer that call. His owner watched him. And I have a feeling that there are young people right here in this service tonight, right there. There's a call of the wild. You hear it. Something inside of you answers the call. But you know better. You know better. I'm telling you this morning that Jesus can take out of you the wild nature that answers the call and give to you a nature, a holy nature, a nature that hates the things you once loved and makes you love the things you once hated. A nature that you can turn down the call of the wild and give your life to dedication to Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, young people, I want to see a group of young people in this church that their religion is more than just their appearance. Their religion is more than just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening trip to the church. But there's a life of dedication and consecration to the one that loved you and died for you and rose again from the dead and offers you salvation. Well, hallelujah. A life of prayer, a life of the Word of God, a life that's not aimless, but a life that's devoted to the will of God, to finding God's will, God's ways, and living your life according to His divine will.